So my heart is always to see people give their hearts to the Lord. You know, I think that's a good place to start when it comes to purpose. God has called you and positioned you in the place where you've been positioned because he knows that he's going to use you in order to transform lives around you. So wherever you might be, whether you may be like me in the deli counter or you may be elsewhere on your journey with him, on your purpose with him, actually the reality is this, that he's calling you to be who you are in your workplace and in the life, whatever your life looks like, whether that be at uni or in your family or your friendship groups, to be what God is wanting you to be and to be that place where you can bring people to know God. Because ultimately he's interested in seeing people get saved. That's why he gave his son. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why we are where we are. That is often the very thing that you have in your hand is your life that God can use to impact other people's worlds. And the thing is this, that actually we are living in a nation that isn't afraid to pray. There was a TFN did a survey in the UK, and at the end of this survey, random people they interviewed, and at the end of this survey they worked out that 47% of people in the UK pray, which I think is mad. So half the people in your world pray. They may not tell you that they pray, but they pray. And the most common prayer that people pray is, God help me. They may not know who God is, they probably don't know who Jesus is, but they know there's something that they need. And the most common prayer is, God help me. And I was kind of looking at those stats and sort of praying about those stats. And God reminded me of a Valentine's card that my wife got me in the first few years of us being married. And this Valentine's card said this, darling, you are the answer to all of my prayers. Isn't that nice? I thought, that's lovely. I like those sort of cards. I opened it up and in the middle it says, you're not what I prayed for, but it looks like you're the answer. Which was encouraging. And I reminded her that God is able to exceed anything that she could ever ask or think. But you know what? The 47% of people are praying, God help me. But you're the answer. You may not be what they're praying for, but God wants to use you to be the answer in their world. God wants to equip you with all that you need in order to be their answer. You can be Christ in your world, Christ in your workplace. But it requires you to say, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to use, again, what's in my hand. I'm willing to say, God, use me in the place that you've called me to be. Now, I kind of, in my journey with God, have done lots of things, and I told you a couple of them. But one of the other things that I had is I worked for a number of years as a police officer, 9 years, and I worked in CID. And in CID, you get a whole load of people who have seen the worst in others, and they're just kind of like, they're just cynics, really. If you're part of CID and you happen to be here, you may be different. Just throw that out there. But a lot of times, they're just like, life. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go in, and again, I'm going to have that mentality of, God, this is what's in my hand. I didn't think I'd be here. I thought I'd definitely be a pastor by now. Time's ticking, God, just to let you know. But actually, while I'm here, God, would you help me just to display you in the world around me? And so I began to kind of look at ways in which I can just show Jesus in my workplace. And so I went into my workplace, and where everybody's just moaning, I thought I'd just be positive. Many people love positive people. Not. It winds them right up. But I thought, I'm going to be positive. When they moan about being married, I'm going to say how wonderful it is to be married. When they tell me about what I did for the weekend, the first thing I've decided to tell them is, hey, you know what, I went to church and this amazing thing happened in church. My thought was, I'm just going to be different. I'm just going to be God in that place. You know what, where there's darkness, you've got such an opportunity to be light. But the key is being light. The key is not being another part of the darkness. If you're a miserable Christian, I hate to hear this, nobody's going to want to become a Christian because they don't want to be as miserable as you are. I mean that in, you know, with love. But if you're happy and if you're full of the joy of the Lord, even though you're going through trials, even though you're going through tough stuff, people look at that and think, I want what you've got. You don't have to do this special preaching thing. You don't have to come and have sort of 5 steps to lead someone to know the Lord. All you need to do is just show them what God means to you. Not just through words, but through actions, through life. Because it's out of that platform of relationship that you're able to speak into people's lives. And I had this one guy, he was the worst of the worst cynic you could ever imagine possible. The guy was just miserable. And he was counting down the days to retirement. And I had to work with this guy for 2 years. I had to sit next to him. And I used to go into work going, oh, I knew his shifts. I knew when he was coming in because I was like, oh, he's coming in again. I'm just going to fill him with joy. And he knew I was a Christian, so he just gave me so much stick. And I was like, no matter how much stick you're going to give me, mate, I'm just going to tell you how great life is with God. Life's great with God. Yeah, maybe so. I'm even going to tell you some of the struggles I'm going with, but I'm going to tell you that even in those struggles, I've got hope, and I've got joy, and I've got peace because of my relationship with God. And that's all. I'm not going to try and convert you with special words. I'm just going to show you what God means to me. I'm going to let you see my life. And I let him see my life, and we had some really great conversations where, you know, he kind of just basically tried to hammer me and asked me lots of questions. And I remember saying one thing to him. He said to me, I don't know how you can believe in God. It's all rubbish. I said, well, I don't know how you can believe there isn't a God. You're telling me that you just think you're just some random accident of the cosmos, and that's all you hear, that there isn't a purpose in your life. And I remember him not being able to answer that to me, and I thought, that's good. Anyway, he came to his retirement. And we all went out for a meal. He took us all out for a meal, and he presented us with little presents, and he was actually quite nice, which shocked us all. And within he did this speech, and within this speech he says, Tim, I want you to stand up. And I'm like, oh man, this is not going to go down well. He'd had a few beers. I'm thinking, I'm in big trouble here. So I stood up, expecting to be absolutely hammered by this guy. And he says, you know what, Tim? He says, you know what I think, and I know what you think. And I'm like, here we go. And he says, I've watched you live your life. And he said this to me. He said, you know what? He said, because of what I've seen, I want you to know. I probably never talked to you again. I had never spoken to him again since then. But he says, I want you to know this thing. I've booked myself on an Alpha course because I want to know more of what you've got. And I just thought, I'd never seen that coming. Honestly, I would have just fallen down there and then. I was waiting for like the end bit where there's the catch. Ha ha, only joking. Let me just hammer you now. Fill you with hope and hammer you. And I was like, oh, okay. And I sat down. And I just believe that God's done something in that guy's life. I don't know, but I'm expecting to see him. When I get to heaven, I'm going to shake his hand because he's going to be there. But that's God using me with what I had in my hand. All I had in my hand was my space at that desk, was my attitude when it came to work, was my attitude when it came to my family, when it came to marriage, when it came to all the other stuff. All I had was what I could show him of my life. But that was enough for him to begin to think, well, what more is there? It's a breakthrough. Those breakthrough moments happen in the times when you can just say, God, use whatever it is again in my hand. So I'm going to look at what the staff is. It's going to be quite a practical thing. I'm hoping I'm not going to do anything with the speaker there. So are you guys okay? Can you see me over here in the corner? So this is the cross, right? Hopefully you all are aware. This is the cross. So I want to illustrate what my life looks like and what your life looks like, because we're both humans, right? And we both do life. And so a lot of things that people see in me, they also see in you. And so I've got a few things here that represent my life. Now my life, I'm a Christian, so my life is everything hangs on the cross. My whole life is about the cross, right? Everything that I am, everything that I look for, everything that has been given in my life is because of my relationship with God. And my relationship with God is only possible because of what Jesus has done on the cross. It's his sacrifice that cleans me of sin, that gives me an identity so that my past doesn't have to stop me from having an incredible purpose and future in God. Everything starts for me at the cross, right? And if you've given your life to God, everything for you should start at the cross. If you haven't, then let today be a cross moment, because this will define you and change you and give you something in your life that you never believed possible, This is the supernatural power of God, Jesus' sacrifice, his payment of sin for you, that allows you to have a relationship with God, and that allows you to go from that relationship to have a purpose that is just unbelievable. But it all starts at the cross. So this is my cross. This is where it starts. But there's other stuff in my life. It's not just the cross, right? There's other stuff going on in my world. So I've got a few things here. Now, this is in no particular order before anyone tells my wife anything. I'm just pulling stuff out of the suitcase. But this is my life. So my life is I've got a picture here of my family. There you go. It's quite handy. I pulled this out first. So this is a picture of my family, and this was taken a long time ago. They are toddlers in this picture. They're not toddlers anymore. They're older now, including me, who looks a lot older. So this kind of represents my family. It also represents my past. All the stuff that's happened in my past, the good bits, the bad bits, the stuff where it was victories and the stuff where it was I've got to pick myself up off the floor moments. Okay, so that's kind of on there. That's my life. That's what people will generally see. Hang on there. I've got other stuff as well. So my relationship with my wife, that's on there. So when I'm talking with people, they ask, how's it going? And they ask about Danny and how's she? And that's all on there as well. I've got a picture. I've got Southampton Football Club, the greatest football club in Southampton. So Southampton Football Club, we work with Saints. We host the kids from the Saints Academy. They come and live with us, and we look after them, and then they go to play football during the day, and then they come back to us at night. So we kind of mentor footballers. And so we do a lot with Southampton Football Club. I'm hopefully going to be on the verge of becoming the club pastor at some stage as well. We're in talks at the moment. They need prayer, so I'm hopefully going to be the one to help pray. So we do stuff with Southampton, but for people, as I'm talking with people, as I'm identifying, as I'm sharing a little bit about myself, I talk about Saints with my people at work. We talk about football, and you may have hobbies. It may not be Southampton. You may not be privileged enough to support such a great team, but there may be other football teams that you're into, or other hobbies, or other things you just enjoy in life. And so that's kind of on there as well. I've got a jacket here. I just thought I wanted something that presented the way that just how you present yourself to people, the clothes that you wear. Some of you guys are well trendy. I mean, look at me, I look middle-aged, and this is definitely a middle-aged jacket, but it's something that I wear. So when I go and I speak to people and people see me, there's an identity that we have in regards to what we wear and how we present ourselves to people. So that's kind of on there. I've got, as well as being a pastor, I've always tried to do two things as well as pastoring so that I can be out there doing what I'm telling everyone else to do as well. So I'm practicing what I'm preaching. And so I help manage a cancer charity at the moment called Pelican Cancer Foundation, and we support precision surgery for certain cancers. And so that's kind of on there because that's part of my job, that's part of what I do. If we talked about it, I'd share that a little bit with you. I've got my keys to represent possessions and stuff like my house. My house keys are on there. My car keys are on there. Just stuff, really. Stuff that where I live, things that I drive, where I go to. And I've got this suitcase here as well. And the suitcase is there to represent holidays or time away or just things that I do. So what happens is this, that this is who people see us as being. When you go into your workplace or you go into university and you're just talking with someone, this is generally what you'll talk about. You talk about how the football was on Saturday. You talk about, you know, your clothes or whatever it is, your family life, your wife, your job, whatever it is that you have. Maybe you've got a few other things you can sling on there as well. But this is what we present ourselves as being to people. So now when people look at that, what they're seeing often, and there may be one or two other bigger things here that would have worked this a little bit better, but what they'll see is the cross often can be hidden behind all the other stuff that we're about. And so we won't necessarily talk about church or talk about Jesus, talk about other things, because actually we kind of hide all that behind all this other stuff. Now we know it's there, right? We know that we're here. We're here on Sunday. We could be anywhere else, but we come on Sunday because we know our faith is important to who we are. So we know the cross is there, right? But when we're talking to other people, often the conversation with other people can be about all that stuff. and all that stuff is who we are. But actually, that stuff, in reality, is our stuff. It's what's in our hand. And I'm not saying that we need to get rid of this stuff, and just the opposite. All this stuff is there so that God can use it. But what God wants you to do is this. And now suddenly, instead of all that stuff hiding the cross, all of that stuff becomes a testimony to the cross. When it comes to all of our lives, suddenly all of who we are, all of what we identify ourselves as being, no longer hides the cross, it highlights the cross. Now this is the incredible thing. When the moment you do that is the moment you begin to release things into these areas of your life. Because God says, okay, I can use this. I can use this to glorify me. I can use that marriage to glorify me. And so as I bless that marriage, and as I encourage that marriage, and as I see that marriage grow and develop, who gets the glory? The cross. When it comes to my job, when it comes to my family and my past, when it comes to all the stuff, possessions, everything that I have, the moment the cross is shown to people through that is the moment this stuff just becomes a testimony to this in my life. And I've found in my life, as I have shown God in my workplace, and instead of hiding away from God, what I've done is I've allowed my work, for example, to be the very thing that highlights my relationship with God. So if I get a promotion, I give glory to God. But yeah, but God didn't give you the promotion. Well, what a great question that is. Let me come and share with you what I think about that scenario. Yeah, but God wasn't involved in your marriage. Well, hold on a second. I believe God brought me my wife to me. And it's because of my faith that this marriage is great. People want to know about this, because when it comes to their life, they have all this stuff as well. But often all this stuff in their life is falling apart because they've not got this that holds it all together. They've got a whole load of stuff in that suitcase of their life that is just all over the place. And they're looking they're looking for that great marriage. They're looking for that great family. They're looking for the things that God has positioned and placed in your life and in your world. They see and think, I need that in my life. And all of that stuff is held together. Why is it there? Because of the cross. Because of what Jesus has done in your life. The moment you display the cross through everything that you do, the moment you give glory to God in everything that you are and everything that you do, watch how people's lives get changed. Watch how people's lives get transformed. Because when they look at you, they don't just see everything great that's happening in your life and also some negative things. I could hang a few health issues on there too. But when they look at that, what they see is the fact that no matter what I'm going through, it's the cross that holds me together. It's the cross that becomes the very fact that I'm able to have the marriage that I've got. I'm able to have the family that I've got. I'm able to have the joy that I have in my life. I'm able to have the success in the workplace. It's because of the cross. And even if you're struggling in those areas, because let's face it, in reality, it ain't all sweetness and light, right? Even when you're going through tough times in there, they watch, people watch you. And the moment you can find joy, even in the battles, the moment you have faith and you know there's going to be victory, even when everything speaks of defeat in your life, is the moment they think there's something different about you. And that's what we need. That's what the world needs. The world needs to see something different about you. Not just hear it, see it, taste it, experience it. Politicians are brilliant at words, but look at the state that the politics are in at the moment. What actually people are looking for is genuinity, and that comes out of a life. It doesn't come out of words. Let people realize there is something different about you, because then at their darkest moments, they'll look and they'll think about you. I was in this position again with CID. We kind of, again, just being this, really, just making sure that everything I'm talking about, God's at the centre of. Not in a weird way, not in a way like, you're a weirdo, but in a way that's just real natural. And building that relationship, you've got to build a platform of relationship often in order to speak truth into people's lives. So it's just building that relationship with people. But just being natural about who God is in your life. And I remember doing this, and again, it was with CID, and we had a sergeant that was just brilliant, and everybody absolutely loved him. And unfortunately, he died. He had cancer, and he lost his battle with cancer. And we went to his funeral, and we came back to the office afterwards, and everyone was down. And then one person turned to me and said, "Tim," he said, "there's something you shine positivity. How about we all get in a circle, and you show your positivity just by touching our shoulders?" And I'm like, "What weirdness is this? What new age weirdness are they talking about?" This was my response. I'm like, "Is this what I've displayed to you? That I'm some sort of hippie bloke?" And I felt God say, "You idiot, Tim." No, it wasn't the Tim moment. He said, "You idiot." He said, "What they're asking you to do is pray for them. They just don't know how to word it." So, I understand now. So they all got in a circle. This man says, "See, all I've done is just be me, really." They've got in a circle, and I've prayed for each one of them that they'd know the peace of God in their lives. I mean, how often? I would never have dreamed of getting that opportunity. And yet it just naturally happened. Why? Because you built that platform of relationship up. When it comes to your world, I tell you, the person sitting that you think is the worst person in the world that doesn't want to know anything about God, I'm telling you, they're looking at you. They're looking at you. And out of their mouths can be nothing but cynicism, but let me tell you something, they're looking. And I've found it's the most cynical people that are the people that end up giving their lives to God because they see something in you. It's the people that say, "Oh, that's all right for you," and non-committal are generally the people that are hardest to reach. But you'll be surprised at what God can do through you when it comes to changing lives in people around you. There is no accident. Who you will see tomorrow morning will not be an accident. It won't be some cosmic accident that's taken place and you just happen to be there. God is orchestrating your very steps. The people in your world, the people you're doing life with, the people you're building relationships with, right now, has been orchestrated by God. Because God wants to show himself through you to them. But it happens that moment when you say, "God, I'll put you first. God, I'll show in all of my life." And often, I've got to be honest. I've had to be honest with people. I want people to recognize that my life isn't sweetness and light. But I want people to recognize that even in the difficult times, I've got God to hold on to. Because I want them to know when they go through their difficult times, there's something for them too. But it happens in that time when you say, "God, I want to be used by you. I want to display you. I want to show you to the people around me." That's what's in your hand. Their life, your purpose right now. Because the moment you do that, and the more you do that, watch what God begins to do with you as he begins to develop you, as he begins to build you, as he begins to give you bigger platforms in which to speak about. But it starts again, it's in those small moments. It's in those moments of you just being you before God. And people seeing God in you. Seeing the light in the darkness. Being the salt and light in your world, being the difference. So if you're here going, "Well, it's great to have a purpose, but what's my purpose?" Your purpose is simply this: to use what's in your hand. There's your purpose, because that's what's in your hand. You get that right. Watch the next steps naturally fall into place as God builds you, builds your character, builds your experience, builds your skill bases, builds stories from your life which then impact other people. But it starts off in that moment. Don't despise the small things in Christ. Because it's the small things that take you to the next step. That's why Jesus says, don't worry about the future, focus on today. Because it's that focusing on today that allows you to build the structure and the platform for your tomorrow. So wherever you're at today, you've got this. Whatever your day looks like, whatever tomorrow looks like, the people whose lives you're going to come into contact with, are the very people that God is calling you to. 47% of people pray regularly. God help me. God help me. That quiet moment, in the moment where everything else is gone and they're just faced with their issues, they're faced with their anxiety, they're faced with their loneliness, they're faced with their failures, they're faced with their uncertainties, they're faced with their defeats. It's at those moments where they cry out, God, would you help me? You know what God's done? He sent them you. He sent them you. You want to know what their answer to prayer looks like? Look in the mirror. It's God in you. You being the feet of Christ and the hands of Christ. You being used by God to reach them and introduce them into someone that can totally transform their world. There's your purpose. It will lead to incredible things. I know God's got amazing things for all of you. But take hold of what you've got in your hand and let God develop that. Amen.